The following interview was recorded by the Gawler Community Broadcasting Association as part of the Gawler Oral History Interview Project.
No, I was going to say I was born at Riverton and grew up at Ryony, and then in 1933 my father bought a farm here at Gawler Blocks. It's where Ollie and the Waters are. Dad owned that.
Yeah.
They had 200 acres there. We should have had it now, didn't we?
Absolutely, yes, you'd have made a fortune.
And then I went to Gawler Block School for about 4 years. Then I went to Gawler High School, and then Dad shifted to Back Valley out of Victor Harbour.
That's where that is.
And that's where I was. I came from there to start my nursing training. Up here at the hutch.
So you came from Victor Harbour?
Yes.
You went from Victor Harbour back to the place where you'd been a school teacher?
Where I went to school.
Okay. What made you decide to become a nurse?
I always wanted to be a nurse. I had three brothers. People were all farmers. They were all farmers. And then when we went to Victor Harbour, I was about 14, and I always wanted to be a nurse. And anyway, then I was home on the farm, and then the war started in 1939, and then we got put in civic defence. We had to go and pick up potatoes with Javanese and Turnies, and I had to go grape picking and all sorts of things. And then I had my name down to go nursing, and then in those days you had to go and have a medical with the old matron Tuck at the Victor Hospital, and she examined me, and then you had to wait for a call. Well, the first call I got was to Strathalbyn, and I had to go back to see her, and she said, "No, you're not going there because you're too close to know about people in the district. They wouldn't let you go anywhere where you knew the people in the district unless you told about their complaints." So then I had to wait again, and then I had to wait, and then I got a call to touch in Hospital Gawler, and that was in the end of 1942.
And what was that like?
Yeah, and I can remember leaving Victor with all my life possessions. It had come up on the train, got to Adelaide, and then caught the train up here to Gawler Station. And old Mr. Allwood used to be the taxi driver, local taxi. I know I got off the train because I didn't, and there was this little short, fat man with a felt hat, and he came up to me and he said, "Are you the new nurse for the hospital?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh, come with me." And now you wouldn't have been going.
No.
Anyway, he was marvellous to the nurses. He used to take us to the station and pick us up. And anyway, that was when I arrived end of 1942. And firstly, when I got there, the matron came and I had to go to the front of the hospital, and she came, got me and took me over to the nurses' quarters. And in those days, we had to wear just our ordinary clothes for 3 months on probation.
Really?
And if you weren't suitable, you were gone.
So you didn't have a uniform at all for the first?
Yeah, so I just had to wear your floral dress that you brought from home.
Really?
For 3 months.
That's unusual, isn't it?
And you were on probation for 3 months, and if you weren't suitable or, like some of the girls, if they went in the theatre, they fainted.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So that was the start of, and then there were no wardsmaids, there was no cook, there was no laundress, it was wartime,
of course.
And they were all either at munitions or other things. So first thing she said to me, "Come over to the hospital and we haven't got any wardsmaids." Each end of the old huts, they had what they called the backs, like they were pantries, and there were all the dishes from the morning and lunchtime piled up like that, and it was the first thing I'd do, wash all the dishes each end, because there were no wardsmaids or anyone.
Goodness.
I thought, gosh, why'd I leave home? And, you know, that's where it started.
Yes,
you know,
from really thrown in the deep end.
Yeah, but we used to have to help in the kitchen, help in the laundry, and do everything, and of course everything was all blacked out. All the hospital was all blackout curtains, and if we went, we could put the lights on inside, we went outside, we had to hurricane lands because they were frightened they were going to get bombed.
Yes, of course. Well, they didn't know, did they?
Yeah.
Do you remember the matron's name?
Yeah, Matron Thayer.
Okay.
I've got photos of her here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Matron Thayer. And there were 14 nurses and 3 sisters. Yeah, that was all that were there then.
So you did. You obviously passed the 3 months
probation. Yes, got through the 3 months and then you got a uniform. And we got 15 shillings a week.
What was the uniform like?
Pink check with a white apron and I've got photos here.
A bit like the old Adelaide, Royal Adelaide.
Yeah, well, the Royal, exactly the same as the Royal Adelaide because I finished at the Adelaide.
Ah.
Yeah.
So you got your uniform, you passed your probation. Then what happened?
Then you got your pink check dress and collar and white apron. You used to have a cap, like a veil, and then you'd tie it with a big bow at the back.
Right.
Because I know each girl had to help one another to tie the things.
To tie them, yes.
Yeah, and see, that was our nurse's quarters, and that's the fish pond that was in front of the...
The main building?
In front of the midwifery block.
Oh, right.
This is the midwifery block.
Yes.
And that was our nurse's quarters, and there's the hospital down there.
Oh, I see, yes. This lady's wearing
a
veil.
No, that's a friend of mine.
Oh, okay, that's a different friend.
This was the first baby I saw born. Because we used to have to go and it was Winkler, of course.
Baby Winkler.
Probably got something to do with Winkler's Bridge.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's me, you know, the old hats, we had the sign there.
And you're wearing a cape, a short cape?
Oh, yeah,
what colour was that?
We had a blue cape, and the sisters had a red one.
Right.
There's the matron there, Matron
Fire. Right, so she wore the long veil at the back.
Yes, yeah.
Where did you live?
In the nurse's quarters.
What was that
and
like?
The sisters had a part, about as big as this. They had 3 bedrooms and a bathroom and a kitchen. They were down one end, and then the other end was the nurse's quarters. Well, we only had 2 dressing rooms and 1 bathroom between 14, 1 toilet, and then there was a long sleep out right along the back with 14 beds.
Like a dormitory.
That's where we slept.
Like a dormitory.
Yeah. And then when you were on night duty, there was a little cottage further up than the midwifery block. And that's where we slept when you'd done night duty. The sister, and there was only one sister and a nurse down in the main hospital, one up in the maternity, and a junior in between. So there was a sister and 3 nurses on night duty.
Right.
Yeah, and then the poor sister, if a baby was born, she'd have to run from the general hospital up to the mid-block in with a hurricane lantern in the night.
Heavens. That's amazing.
Yeah, and then... There wasn't electrical hot water in those days. Out in the middle of the yard was a stone building with a furnace in it. And we used to have to go out about 3 times at night with a shovel and shovel coal into the furnace to keep the hot water going.
This was part of your job for night shift?
Yeah, that was the junior nurse's job in the middle of the night. You'd have to go out in the middle of the yard.
Goodness.
And shovel coal with your nice white apron on it, which we shovel. And if we let it go down, there was no hot water.
Heavens. Imagine a hospital.
It was pretty primitive in those days.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many years after, you know. Yes.
Who were the doctors that came to the hospital? Can you remember?
Dr. Coverton, Dr. Rice and Dr. Dawes. There were only 3.
Right.
Yeah. Dr. Dawes had a private hospital down here where TAFE is, and right along the back there, that was Dr. Dawes' private hospital.
How many beds did that have?
Hmm?
How many beds did that one have?
Oh, I've got no idea. I think the hutch had 35.
Right.
Yeah, and the mid-block, yes.
So 35 altogether,
yeah,
including the midwifery?
With the general, and the mids would be coming and going, you know.
Yes, of course.
The mid-block. But no, Dr. Dawes had his own private hospital, and Dr. Coverton lived down... You know, where that 2-storey place opposite Coles?
Yes.
He lived there, and Dr. Rice lived here. That's why this is called the Vin Rice Retirement Village.
It's named after
his
him.
His house was about where the car park is here.
Ah.
Yeah.
And well, that's funny, isn't it? You've come to live where that doctor lived.
Yeah, where Dr.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Jean, can you think of any dramatic things that happened while you were nursing? Anything sort of out of the ordinary?
Oh, well, because the army had the hospital. They were just moving out when I got there. This book written by Ogden, she was a senior nurse when I was there, and she was then matron of Mount Gambier Hospital, but she's wrote quite a bit here of her day at the hutch because she was the senior nurse when I went there. See, the Americans came first and they were out at Sandy Creek.
Jean has just shown me a book called Matron Wants to See You, Nurse, yes. A Story of Two Hospitals by Elizabeth
this
Walker.
This is mostly about Mount Gambier, and but the first part's about her time.
I'll read it out.
Yeah, but the part there is about when the Americans were out at
Page
Sandy
20.
Creek.
Never a dull moment, grumbled Sister Fairchild one morning several weeks later. Now we have to move. Not only nurses, but patients as well. Why? Asked Nurse Ogden. The Yanks are here. Are the Germans coming? Not yet, but the 109th Australian Division are. They've been sent to Gawler, and of course they haven't got a hospital, have they? So they're taking over General Ward. Well, yeah. That's amazing.
And
isn't
then
it?
Afterwards they built a hospital out at Sandy Creek and they moved. They had the General Hospital, most of it.
Right.
And they were just cleaning out to go out to Sandy Creek when I arrived.
They didn't use it as a hospital, did they?
Yes.
Oh, they did use it as a hospital.
For the army, but the Yanks had a lot of Nissen huts and that out at Sandy Creek. They were at Sandy Creek. This was the Australian. Yeah, they used the general. If you read a bit further there, it'll tell you that.
We have to move some to the midwifery block and others to night staff quarters. The Aussies are a bit different to the Americans, yes. If you're moving patients to the night shift quarters, where will the night staff roost then? Asked Nurse Ogden, conscious of the fact she'd just commenced night duty. Ah, you'll have to move all your gear to house number 13, just down the street.
Yeah, down Lindot Road.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah, so they had the hospital there until they built out at Sandy Creek.
I see. Yeah. And they brought their wounded, did they? They bring their wounded there?
No, there was just you know, sick patients. Right. I suppose if they were wounded, they would have gone to Dawes Road.
Oh, I see.
I know when I got there, some of the girls were all excited because there were these young army doctors there, and thought it was
any
wonderful.
Any romances?
A few started off, but I don't think they eventuated.
Okay. So how long were you there for?
Well, I went there in about October 1942, and then I left 1943, 44, and then you had to wait a call for the Adelaide Hospital. So I went to the Adelaide Hospital in February 1944. Then I was there 45, 46. And I done my final exams in 1946, and then I finished at the Adelaide in 1947.
Right. What were the exams like? What did you have to do for the exams?
Oh, probably the normal, you know.
So you had some written exams?
Hmm? We had physiology exam while we were there. And Dr. Rice, we didn't have any tutor sisters or any of that sort of thing. Up at the back of the mid-block, there was one room with a skeleton in it. And Dr. Rice used to lecture us there once a week. About, you know, because physiology was all about your bones, and that's all we had. And then we'd study in our own time. Yeah, right. We'd done physiology, but
would you?
Yeah, we had to do exams.
Where did you go for your exam?
We must have done it up there, I reckon, back room.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, and then look, all the rest of the exams were when you got to the Adler Hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. No, what else exciting happened up there? We used to have to asked the matron to go. There was a letterbox down on the corner of Lindot Road. We weren't allowed to leave the hospital without asking the matron consent to go down there and post a letter.
Really?
They were really strict, yeah.
And this is when you're not on duty?
Oh, yeah, we'd always report if we left the hospital. And then there were lots of dances because the army and the Yanks were out at Sandy Creek, the Air Force were out at the where the gliders and that on there, and they used to have dances about twice a week in the institute, and we always had to get permission to go, and then you would have to report back to the night sister when we got home.
Gosh.
No, they were very strict. Well, we lived in, and I suppose they were responsible for us.
Yes, you know, yes.
They were pretty strict. And, I mean, what else can I think of that went on? But, see, we used to wake the poor old patients up. 4 o'clock in the morning, you'd wake them, sponge them off, get them ready for breakfast. Because there weren't a lot of domestic staff or anything. The nurses had to do everything. 4 o'clock we used to start.
Heavens.
Yeah, oh, God. Be cold.
Be very cold. Did they have anything to warm the wards, to keep the warm or cool in the summer?
I don't think we did. Probably open the windows and the drawers for the summer, and I don't know whether we ever had anything in the winter. I can't remember.
No, no.
But there was a men's ward one end and a women's ward the other end, and then a few private rooms in between.
Okay.
Yeah, but and up like the maternity block, that was about half a dozen rooms up there. But it was busy time then. I can remember one night there were so many babies getting born with the army and coming and going, and with the men coming and going. I can remember one night in the middle of the night, Sister Rusby was one of the sisters. She's still alive. She's 102.
Is she really?
She's in Perth. I went over to her 100th birthday.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, she's same age as Sid I.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And they used to play together when they were little kids. Still live next door to one another.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Yeah.
And we had to go over and get one of the nurses' bed in the middle of the night and rattle it across the yard to... for the mids, because it was that full, we never had a bed.
You had to go and drag a bed across.
One of the nurses' beds in the middle of the night.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Wheel it across the yard. No, we...
That's it.
No, I said, you know, it was all... Everybody was happy. You were like one big family.
Yes.
Nobody had any money, but we used to go to the dances, borrow one another's dresses. Because,
A lot of camaraderie would have
been. Yeah, I mean, everybody kept together, you know, for years. Still.
That's lovely. Are there many left?
Not many left. These are a new group that have started to go. See, there's Dr. London's. So there's only us left now.
Gosh.
But they don't all turn up now. But
that's amazing.
No. But we had some wonderful reunions. Eileen McGann had all this because she was writing a book, but nobody knows what happened to it.
Oh.
That was a group of us when... That's...
That's 79. That's quite a while ago.
Yeah,
now,
well, look
it?
At us all there.
Where are you?
There.
Oh, right.
That's Dr. Rice.
That's 1965.
One of our reunions.
Oh, look at all the hats.
Yeah, with hats and gloves, handbags.
Isn't that amazing? 65.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful record. And is that you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognise you.
Oh, no, we used to be a big group of us, you know. It was only the ones that trained between 1937 and 1950. But then we altered it about... 3 years ago, that's when we've started this younger ones
right,
going.
Yeah.
But before that, you've had to have trained before 1950.
What are the big changes that you've seen in nursing since you were nursing?
I don't think it's as good as it used to be.
Can you tell me a bit more about that? How do you mean?
You know, we all really looked after the patients, and I mean, they were... well cared for, and you know, you didn't specialise in any patients, but you know, everything was done for them. I mean, there were no, you know, sending you to the shower on your own with a drip in, and all. And I mean, we used to change, you know, their linen would be changed with the patient in it. We could change the beds and do everything. And I mean, they were well fed and really well looked after. Now, I think. You know, they've got to do so much for themselves. Mm. They don't, I don't think they get the individual help and treatment that when we were nursing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know now the nursing's, you know, they don't sponge them half the time. They've got to get up and get with a drip and everything to the shower and, and I just feel that, I mean, they were better looked after in a way than they are now. We didn't have all the medical things, you know.
There's been changes.
It was when I was at the Adelaide Hospital, penicillin first came out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I can always remember that. It was like brown sugar. And then you had, I don't know whether you know what a little Bunsen burner
yes,
is.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we used to, you'd have a teaspoon of the brown crystals and put water, a teaspoon of water, and then put the crystals in it and dissolve it over the Bunsen burner and then draw it up in a syringe. That's how that first started off.
Heavens, that's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
So what year are we talking about? We're talking about
1943.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
so that's not long after it really became available.
I know I saw the first cesarean birth that was done up here at the hospital. That was in about 1943, 44. And all that was real drama. The whole staff, we were the ones that weren't helping it. We were all allowed in the theatre to see it. And there was one, that was big excitement. That was the first cesarean.
It must have been very crowded in there with you all there.
Yeah, no, well, the theatre would have been bigger than this area.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who did the operation? Do you remember?
I can't remember.
No, it doesn't matter.
Too long ago. Well, it probably would have been a specialist come up.
Yes, I see.
One of the biggest dramas I can remember when we were on night duty, we had to clean out the theatre from where they'd operated in the day. You had to scrub the floor and pick up all the swabs and dressings and do everything. And this night, there were three of us down in General Hospital. We cleaned up the theatre and done everything and had everything all thrown in the bin. Anyway, we were on night duty, you see, and the next day we were all up in the sleep. And next thing, the matron came up and woke us all up. And she said, do you remember seeing some radium in the theatre yesterday? And we didn't know what radium was,
yes.
And she said, because it can't be found, and the asbestos is ringing, that he left his radium. And it was in a needle. I don't know whether you knew what syringes used to be in a long chrome sort of needle holder, mm-hmm. radium needles in a little holder thing about a foot long, and we didn't know what it was, so we cleaned up, threw it in the bin. Anyway, she came and she said, you all got to come down now and find it, and if you don't find it, you're all going to get the sack.
Oh my goodness.
We went through the rubbish bin with all the swabs and all the dressings and all the things,
goodness.
And there was this bit needle holder with the radium. That's how radium first started, just like a long needle. And it was in the holder. We'd never seen it before, didn't even know what it was.
Goodness. What did they use it for then?
Oh, probably with cancer of the uterus and things like that.
Because
I can remember when we were at the Adelaide Hospital, it used to be in a box.
Right.
And it'd be put under people's beds. And then they used to tell us that we weren't to get close to it, it could make us sterile.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was how that first started. But, yeah, that was one big drama.
But
we found it anyway.
Heavens.
But, see, that was radium.
Yes.
Yeah, how they've gone ahead now with treatment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it, the advances.
And the treatment probably's changed more than anything, I think.
And you would have probably been treating cases like smallpox.
No,
infectious diseases?
For three of us, that was another thing that happened. We were up there, the three of us got the chicken pox, and we were all in our 20s, and or 19 or 20. A mid had come in, and we'd unpacked her case, the baby's clothes and her clothes, and evidently she'd been nursing her children home with chicken pox. All three of us got the chicken pox, caught it from a mid. And we were all in isolation up in the night staff quarters. Gosh, I'll never forget that. I never felt so ill and awful.
No, it's horrible as an adult.
Yeah, we never used to get whooping cough. We used to get men with mumps.
No, never.
We didn't have a lot of injections or anything, though. And, I don't think measles and mumps and whooping cough and those things.
It would have to be serious
to be in
hospital.
They used to do quite a bit of surgery,
yeah.
up there, but the best is to come up from Adelaide.
So you went to the Royal Adelaide and then came back to Gawler, did you?
Actually, I met my husband here at a dance in Gawler. He was home on leave from New Guinea, and then he went back to Borneo, and they had the bakery at Lindock. When we got married at then October 1947, I went to live at Lindock, and they had the bakery there. And the boys both come back from the war and took that over, and then...
So you left nursing then when you got married, did you?
Yeah. Then I came to Gawler, and I had two daughters. One, Diane works in the Commonwealth Bank, and Jenny worked in the Savings Bank. And anyway, when we shipped and sold the business out at Lindock, came to Gawler. We lived on Lindock Road, right on the corner there. And one night I was there and the phone rang and it was Dr. Rice, and he said, "Well, what are you doing with yourself, Jean?" And I said, "Having a holiday." And he said, "After having a bakery." And he said, "Oh, we're in trouble up at Treeview," because he said one of the sisters had been in a motor accident, broke a leg. And he said, "You couldn't get sisters for love nor money, because most of them had gone to the war and were just coming back and going." Anyway, he said, "You wouldn't go and help out up at Treeview, would you?" And I said, "Oh, I don't really want to. I'm mad about geriatrics." And he said, "Would you go and help for 3 months?" And I said, "Oh, all right, then, for a couple of days a week." So then I stayed there 12 years, done 2 days a week and sometimes weekends. And,
oh, right. Yeah, that's amazing.
So, but I know you get so attached to the poor old things up there, and they do to you. So I had 12 years up at Treeview. Since we came to Gawler.
Married women allowed to nurse?
Oh, yeah, as long as you were registered. So right. you had to register every year.
Right.
And you've still got to. They've still got to. If they let their registration run out, you can't.
But you could be married.
Yeah, you could be married. I think that came in at the Adelaide Hospital in the 1970s or 80s.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
She was the matron.
But when you, in your day, when you were first...
Oh, no, we weren't allowed to be married
then.
No.
Okay.
I've got a photo when I've done the finals there. There were 68 of us at the Adelaide Hospital. I'll get it in a minute and show you.
How many of those girls came back to Gawler? Did many of them come back to Gawler?
Yeah, quite a few married Gawler boys. Ruth Dawkins. I reckon there are five or six married local boys.
Wow. Yeah. They're all very well-known.
They used to go to the dances as well, in the army and that. Where they, I reckon there were six or seven married local boys. Yeah.
No. After your 12 years at Treeview, did you do any more nursing?
No. Used to do a lot out at Lindock with Nan Burge. We used to run around privately, the doctors would ring up. We used to run around giving injections and loan people out, because there was no mutual hospital or anything in those days.
Right.
The only way people were covered if they were in the lodges. Oddfellas Lodge and different lodges. Otherwise, there were no benefits.
Right.
The doctors used to ring us out. Lindock Nan had come from the Adelaide Hospital and said, "Oh, would we go and do a dressing, or would we go and do, give injections?" And we used to do a lot of that out there.
So home visiting?
Yes. Mm. People die, we'd go and lay them out.
Yes.
Yeah. And that saved the doctors coming out. There were only three doctors.
Yes.
And down where the car park is there, just below council, that was the district nurse's house.
Ah.
There was a house there, and the two Miss Laws, their names were, they were the district nurses, and they lived in that house. that was when we were up at the hospital. That was there, the district nurses' house.
Goodness sake, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you left after you did your Treeview nurse helping out, and then you did a bit of home visiting.
Not nursing, not after I left Treeview. Just used to visit old people and take, my husband was pretty good to visit and taking people around shopping and that sort of thing, but
so
not
just
nursing.
Supporting.
Well, I was about 53 by then or something. I thought, well, if I don't get away from there, I'll be in there, and I'm still gone.
So what did you do then after you finished with your nursing?
Oh, well, I go to Legacy and I go to Aracel Auxiliary. I go to Fellowship at the church. I played golf for 25 years.
Did you?
Till I was 80.
Wow, good for you. Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, what else? I go to Provis.
That's wonderful. So you're very involved still in lots of things.
I've always been,
community
minded.
Yes, that's wonderful. When your girls were young, Jessica got the two girls?
Mm.
Yeah. When they were young, what school did they go to? What school were they at?
Of Lindop.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and you ask them, they'll tell you that Anne and I, we'd get called out all hours of the night and everything with the doctors to go and help somebody in Lindop, because they'll tell you, and so will Grant Birch, you know, that they'd get up in the morning and, where's Mum? Mum, and we wouldn't be there. We'd be gone sitting with somebody that was dying or doing. They remember well when Dad had to always get them ready for school.
What did your husband do?
He was a baker.
Oh, he was a baker. They're awful hours too.
Well, he was in the signals when he first joined the army, but then the second time he went to New Guinea, they put him all in their occupation, so he had to go back into the bakery. I've been on my own 16 years.
Yeah, it's a long
time. Husband died in 2002.
Yeah. And your daughters nearby?
One's at Two Worlds. Diane's married in at Two Worlds.
Oh, that's not too far.
Got five grandchildren, and then my other daughter's at Port Elliot.
Oh, that's a fair
way. She's got four grandchildren. No, none of them are in Cawley. When I came in first from Lindop, we lived, you know, on the corner of Lindop Road, there where the dead hedges are run.
Yes.
We've lived there for 26 years.
Ah.
And then when my husband got sick, we shifted up to Harrodine Street. And then after Clyde died, I stayed there 6 years on mine, and then these places were being built, and I decided to come here.
They're great, aren't they?
I've been here 10 years.
They're great, aren't they?
No. I've got a girl that takes me shopping, and then I've got a girl that comes and cleans, but otherwise I do it all myself, I manage. Yeah.
So what would you say to a young person going into nursing now? Anything?
Going into
nursing now? Any advice
I'd love to know when they're going to be a nurse.
What advice might give someone that's going into nursing now?
I suppose take notice of what the sisters and the people, you know, and the lecturers and that, they get a lot more help now than we did, but, work hard and you'll get through your training if they, you know, concentrate and study and, they don't live in anymore. I don't think they've got the friendship and the that
closeness.
Now. They hardly know one another. You know, they just work together and they're gone. And,
yes.
Yeah, but I still don't like this idea of just learning out of a book.
No.
I mean, when we started, we had to wash the bottles and the bedpans and start right from the bottom. Mm. And, I mean, I think it's the best training. I still don't think there's... girls now, when they come out of being at, well, they say they're at uni and that, but they come out after being in, learn out of a book and then suddenly thrown in with the blood and thunder.
Yes.
It's a big shock to a lot of them, and a lot of them give up then.
Yes,
I don't think, I still think training the old way like we did, and now they get so much money, they're in a lot of it, just for the money's a lot of it. I mean, we didn't have any money, it was for the love of it. You've got to want to be a nurse, you know.
Yes.
No good just going and say, like, I can remember when my husband was sick, I used to have to get a carer. I can remember one day I came home and there was a young girl, because usually they were older women as carers, and she was only young, and I walked in and I said, oh, what are you doing here? You know, young girl like you looking after an old man like that. And she said, oh, I'm a trained nurse. I said, oh, are you? I said, what are you doing this? And she said, oh, I'm not going to go on with it. I'm not working weekends and nights. And I said, well, do you expect people to get sick between 9 and 5?
What did she say?
I think that's the attitude with some of them.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, there's some good nurses. There's some... They've got to be nearly a mechanic, though. Like, it's all
a lot
computers.
Of technology.
Technology.
That's right.
We didn't have any of that.
No, that's true. What do you think about men being nurses now?
I think they'd be quite good.
Yeah,
and they'd be good at lifting and...
Now, my experience is that they're just as good as anybody else, yeah.
Well, I mean, some people were, probably won't like a man looking after them, but what's the difference, a man having a woman looking after them?
Well, exactly, exactly, that's right.
Sarah, I was on the hospital auxiliary for 30 years until that folded up. We raised a lot of money for the hospital up here. Wrote about 25 pages of my life story.
Good. Well, you see, that's good for your grandchildren, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, well, that's right.
We should all do that, really, shouldn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, you know, and then you suddenly think of things and... but...
You've got a very good memory.
That's me there. 1946.
1946, wow.
Yeah, and see, we had the same uniforms.
Yes.
Only we had those little ice cream container caps.
That's what I remember then. Yeah. I do remember then.
Yeah.
So these girls came from all over the state.
Oh, everywhere.
Mm.
This one came from Renmark. They came from Corn, Port Augusta, Seduna. Well, it was the same up here. Gawler, we had no local girls when I was up here.
And you lived on Frome Road in the nursing
home? Yeah.
Yes.
And there's house. On night,
oh, really?
On night duty, we lived in the wartime because they were short of accommodation.
You lived in Ayres House?
Ayres House, in the main ballroom in Ayres House,
wow.
Five of us slept. And we used to throw our black stockings up over that chandelier to dry.
I love that. You threw your black stockings over the chandeliers to the dry. Ballroom of Ayres House.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. I love it.
We slept there. Yeah, on night duty.
Yeah,
done
isn't that
two
nights
night duty.
Because I know the nursing home was on Frome Road.
Yeah, oh, it was everywhere. There was.
So
we lived in those units between, you know, the Botanic Hotel and Ayres House.
Oh, okay.
That was our day, most of our day quarters, because that other one was only built when I was there. We did sleep in there at the end. Oh, and then there was part they called the landing up on top of the old X-ray. We were all over the place. But we used to get up in the morning, all those units.
Yes.
We used to sleep in there. And I can remember we used to go on duty at 6 o'clock and the trams would be all running up and down there. We'd be dodging between the trams and the drivers would be waving to us going on duty. Now they're putting them back again.
Yes, 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 that's right.
No, we used to sleep in Ayres House.
Oh, that's
on
wonderful.
Night duty.
I love it. That's a great story. I love that one.
No, that's the only trouble now. When you get old, you get lonely because everybody's gone. You know, yes. There's not many options.
That's true. That is
especially
true.
When you get 95.
Yes, yes. But you're involved in lots of things, aren't you? So you've got people around you that,
yes.
Yeah, which is lovely.
Oh, I've got good neighbours.
That's good too, isn't it?
They're quite interesting, those old books.
Yes, yes, they are interesting, yeah.
This interview, recorded in the year 2017 by the Gawler Community Broadcasting Association, is available for download for purposes of educational research. We expect that any creative written or electronic work derived from the recording gives due credit to the interviewee, interviewer, and GBA.